The way brain tumors are treated is always evolving with new techniques and technologies, and there are new developments that may improve the outlook for those living with brain tumors. We're going to learn about it today with Dr. Praveen Reddy, a neurosurgeon at Ocala Health Neurological Institute. This is Helmet of Health, the podcast from Ocala Health. I'm Prakash Chandran. So, Dr. Reddy, can you tell us a little bit more about some of the reasons people develop brain tumors in the first place?
The reasons people develop brain tumors, some are known, a lot are unknown. There's a large majority of the patients actually develop tumors in the brain because of mutations, which are spontaneous. Mutations can happen every time a cell kind of divides to form a new cell. There's an increased chance that it can form a mutation, which can then kind of grow at a rate which is called a high proliferation and form a brain tumor.
Okay, but are there people that are more predisposed to getting brain tumors over others, and how do you determine that?
There's a very small subset of patients who have a genetic predisposition to form tumors. Large majority of them do not have a genetic predisposition.
Got it. And I'm curious as to if all brain tumors are cancerous. You know, we hear brain tumor, I think that's one thing that we automatically assume, but maybe talk a little bit about the cancer relationship to tumors.
Large majority of the tumors in the brain are benign, and the small percentage of tumors which are malignant come under two categories. One, which is started inside the brain. It's called a primary brain tumor, which means it started inside the brain and stays inside the brain predominantly. It always grows locally and causes symptoms secondary to mechanical pressure on the brain next to it. Now, there is a second group of tumors which are also malignant, but these are metastatic, which means a tumor has originated in another part of the body, now has gotten access into the bloodstream, and from there has gone into the blood vessel supplying blood to the brain, and there they have an opportunity to seed themselves, park themselves in a part of the brain, and grow by parasitizing the vessels surrounding in that region.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about some of the treatment options or the latest treatment options for removing those brain tumors, but I'm curious as to how brain tumors have most commonly been treated in the past.
You know, historically, they didn't have proper imaging techniques, and in the last 30 years, the ability to investigate how the brain looks has become significantly better, especially with MRIs. And so we're actually able to do molecular analysis of brain tumors by something called MR spectroscopy. So we can actually identify the tumor type most often. We can identify the chemical structure inside the tumor. And so by, number one, having an improved access to a better technology with an MRI of the brain, we're able to also look at the relationship of the tumor to the functioning components of the brain. Like, the different parts of the brain are connected through what we call as white matter tracts, and we're able to establish relationship of this tumor to the white matter tracts, which are important for us, even before surgery. And so that is a significant improvement. So my predecessors were at a disadvantage, and they were relying on CT scans in the past, and now MRIs, which did not have all these components. Also, more recently, we have been able to ascertain the relationship of the tumor to functioning parts of the brain. Like, if this tumor is next to a part of the brain which controls your ability to understand, we call comprehensional speech, we're able to test that. Your ability to produce words, we're able to test it. So it basically lights up the part of the brain which controls word output and puts it right next to or is in the inside the tumor. So even before we try to treat it with surgery, we have an idea of what this is, what its relationship to different parts of the brain are, including functioning brain like speech and motor control, and the white matter tracts. So we're privileged with this technological improvement, and that helps us improve our ability to manage these patients better than what our predecessors had.
Absolutely. It just sounds like the technology that's available to you to be able to diagnose this and really understand what's going on is a massive part to what I guess yields a better success rate in your surgery. So let's talk about the latest advancements in the surgery itself. Let's say you go in, you diagnose what's going on. What are some of the improvements of technology that helps you operate?
You know, the prior discussion I talked to you about basically tells us we can match and map the white matter tracts, the speech fibers, and we can do the chemical architecture of the brain. So that is information that we use to help decide how to treat a patient. The first premise of medicine is do no harm. So when we're doing brain surgery, our first goal is to not cause a new problem. So we ascertain prior to surgery with great degree of certainty what is the relationship of this tumor to the motor fibers, to the speech fibers, everything that matters to the patient to have a life with quality. So we do all these MRIs before surgery, we do all this testing, and we have what we call as a navigation platform where the MRI from before surgery, that information is transported to the special computer in the operating room, which can do a three-dimensional reconstruction of the patient's face and the brain. And I can put an instrument on the skin, and it tells me the relationship of that probe to where the tumor is, where the important tracts are, and where the functioning motor fibers are. Once we make that determination, and we've made a determination that this tumor needs to be treated with surgery, we make an opening around in the skull, which basically is centered with the tumor in the center and the surrounding regions we want to save are exposed to a certain extent. We can then do what is called as functional mapping of the brain. We can put electrodes on the brain and identify if our preoperative data translates to precise information when the patient is under anesthesia and say by stimulating, am I getting a movement on the left arm? Am I getting a movement of the right leg by stimulating that part of the brain? It gives us secondary confirmation. If we're concerned about the secondary confirmation not being precise, we do the surgery with the patient being awake and we stimulate the brain and tell them and we see if the hand is moving, is the speech getting arrested, things like that. So an awake surgery can be done to make a determination if by touching that part of the brain to take the tumor out, are we going to cause harm? So these technological improvements are remarkable.
Yeah, you know, just hearing you talk, it's really incredible, not only the level of sophistication and technology that it takes to diagnose the tumor properly, but all of the tools that you have to really understand where it is and to be able to step-by-step make sure that you're assessing things properly, making sure that the right signals are firing. I'm sure that everyone listening to this can feel very comforted by the fact that they have this type of treatment option available to them at Ocala Health. So, Dr. Reddy, I really appreciate your time today. That's Dr. Praveen Reddy, a neurosurgeon at Ocala Health Neurological Institute. Thanks for checking out this episode of Helmet of Health. Head to OcalaHealthNeurologicalInstitute.com to get connected with a provider. If you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels and be sure to check out the entire podcast library for topics of interest to you. Thanks, and we'll talk next time.